everybody to the first edition of the Dead Pit. I'm Uncle Bill. Immediately to my right over here is the Creepy Kentuckian.
That's right, I'm creepy as fuck.
We're going to be taking you through the year in review of horror films and all things horror related today.
And it's going to be horrible, trust me. I mean,
yeah,
2005 was a pretty shitty year for horror movies. But the sad thing is it was actually better than 2003 and 2004, so, you know, I don't know if that tells you anything or not. But
yeah, I compiled a little list here of all the horror movies that came out in 2004 and 2005, just to give you a brief idea of the kind of shit that came out. And I'll just run down, like, the sequels and remakes that came out instead of, you know, just anything original. You got wonderful things like Blade Trinity that came out in 2004.
Which was based on something, right?
Oh, that's based on a comic book, yeah. You can't ever leave that out. That wasn't original.
It's based on a comic book, which is also the second sequel of a trilogy, mm-hmm. which will probably be a quadrilogy soon or something. I don't know. But I heard it was shitty. I didn't see it, so.
Well, I can verify that it was really.
It had Triple H in it, so.
Funny thing about that movie is that Wesley Snipes would not even do the press for it because he thought it was so shitty. So that should tell you something about that movie.
Yeah, he definitely wouldn't sell for Triple H. That's one person that wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got movies like make sequels to Species. You got movies like Resident Evil Apocalypse. Seriously, the video game.
Did that come out yet, Resident Evil Apocalypse?
Yeah. The video game industry and remakes comprise about 80% of all horror movies that come out. And I've actually done the study on this. So if you sit around and think about it, there's nothing really original coming out in horror. And there won't be.
I don't really think you need to tell like people that would be on this site that because, I mean, come on. Seriously.
Well, seriously, you guys. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first movie we saw this year was a Robert De Niro Dakota Fanning project called Hide and Seek, which is evidently already in the Walmart 550 bin.
It is, and you can go pick
that
up.
That's a record like time there.
Right now at Walmart, if you'd like to, it's $5.50.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it, but
I'll probably buy it just to see if it's as shitty as I remember it being, but, you know.
Here's the thing I've noticed about De Niro's horror movie experiences that he had, especially with, like, Frankenstein and stuff. The endings to all those movies are truly, like, just insanely horrible. And that movie was really no exception.
Yeah, and from what I remember, I think that one of the TV spots actually gave away the ending.
Yeah, it did. Several of the TV spots gave away
the ending. So, I don't know what the hell they were thinking with that. But I think after that, I'm not positive. I don't know. I don't have the, you know, the date which we saw it. But I think Amityville Horror, which was the first remake we saw of the year.
Mm-hmm. That came out in April, so.
I think that was the second horror movie we watched, was it?
Actually, Cursed would have been the second one.
Well, let's talk about Cursed first, which is, goddamn. It was Scream 4.
It was
Werewolf.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was. I mean, that's the only way to explain it.
It was Kevin Williamson's vehicle again with Wes Craven. And the thing about that movie is that for a year, you know, it had script rewrites and they had to recast the entire thing. You know, I'm pretty sure Omar Epps was in that movie like at one point, and there was a couple other people that were you know, starting that movie. You can't make movies like that, all right? You can, obviously, but look what happens. You get things like Cursed, and that movie was just like a real waste of like 98 minutes.
I think the thing that sucks the most is there's no werewolf movies come out, period. And when one comes out, it's shitty.
Well, yeah.
Like, I watched a movie last night called The Beast of Bray Road, which Asylum made and stuff. And I'm not a big fan of werewolf movies, but, I mean, I thought it was better than Cursed.
Yeah.
And it had probably, $10,000 budget or something like that.
And I'm sure it had like a lot less CG in it than Cursed did.
It didn't have any CG in it.
Exactly. So.
But Cursed was just, I don't know, it was following the same Scream formula with, you know, 30-year-olds playing teenagers and, you know, werewolves.
And Dawson's Creek alumni.
That look more like bears, but, you know.
Here's another thing I've noticed about, this is real, like, formulaic for horror movies right now, is you take one really big star, okay, you put him in a really bad horror movie, all right, and that's the draw. It's either that.
I'm guessing the big star you're talking about is Christina Ricci.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah. like, yeah. The only star in that movie. It's either that or the draw is the actual name. Like a remake or something to that effect or a sequel. That's the only two draws to horror movies anymore. Originality or like actual content are not anywhere to be seen on this.
Okay, so we went from March, which was Wes Craven's first piece of shit of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to a remake of the Amityville Horror, which... I don't know about you, but I didn't really like the original Amityville Horror.
I didn't either. I mean, but...
There's a few people that think that, but whatever. I mean, Amityville Horror, it was one of those movies that I could have took it or leave it, you know. Ryan Reynolds was in it, which was in another piece of shit you mentioned, Blade Trinity.
Mr.
Seeing
Van
him
Wilder.
Pissed off and, like, being a threatening killer, it's just not believable for me. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, you can't turn around and do like, you know, comedies and then expect to be taken seriously as like a psychopathic killer. You can't do Waiting.
I think that's all he did was like he did comedy movies, a bunch of like shitty comedy movies,
mm-hmm.
Blade Trinity and you know Amityville.
That movie to me was a little bit better than like your standard remakes, just because it had like one scene in it where I remember she's trapped in a closet. The babysitter was trapped in a closet. It was actually a decent, like, scare scene. But the rest of it was completely, like, just the same crap.
Well, yeah, to me, I mean, I wasn't really expecting much anyway because, I mean, if I'd watched the first Amityville Horror in theater, I probably wouldn't have liked it either, but...
That's true.
Let's continue.
What's next?
I believe next, we actually had the privilege of seeing High Tension in
no,
the theater.
No, I beg to differ. It had to be House of Wax.
We'll go on. House of Wax, which I guess had been April, right?
Yeah, House of Wax was... Actually, that was May.
Well, I've got High Tension is May, too.
So that would have been around the same time.
Or no, maybe High Tension was June. Who gives a fuck, but...
Yeah, that point.
We'll talk about House of Wax, which is another remake, but really only in words. I mean, the title... was the same, but, you know, it was, I think it was more of like a 80s slasher retro, you know, type of movie. It didn't have anything to do with the Vincent Price movie from like the 50s. Yeah.
Spoiler here for anybody that hasn't seen the movie. Paris Hilton dies, and in very graphic fashion.
You have to give it two thumbs up.
Yeah, just for that. Yeah, it's really.
And the way she dies
is
the best part.
But that movie, yeah.
I would definitely give that movie, you know, probably about a B to a B minus.
Yeah, I would too.
It got shit on for some reason, you know, by a lot of folks. But, you know, I mean, I didn't think it was as bad as a lot of the movies that come out this year. So I would definitely recommend you going out and either buying it or renting it or whatever the hell you do. But I don't know. I thought it was solid. What do you think about that, Bill?
Well, it did not try to be atmospheric. Like, all those other remakes... we've seen that year, like Amityville Horror and, you know, The Fog, which we'll get to later. They really tried for some kind of, like, fake atmosphere, you know, which they can't do anymore, but they tried. That movie didn't even try any kind of, like, atmosphere. It just went straight into the story, gore, you know. There's no back plot except at the very end. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I mean... it gave me the same feeling that the first 15 minutes of Cabin Fever did, but it didn't get shitty.
Yeah. Toward the end, it didn't fall apart.
Yeah, I mean, it's along the same lines. You know, we got teenagers. They're going out camping or whatever the hell they're doing. And, you know, they run into, a couple of them run into a wax museum. And, you know.
If anybody's
I'm not
going
to give it away, but it was pretty solid.
If anybody's ever seen Tourist Trap, it was actually more of a remake of Tourist Trap than it was of House of Wax.
Yeah. And that was, you know, even though it was considered a remake, you know, it didn't feel like one. It felt more like a, you know, Wrong Turn, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't even think it was better than Wrong Turn.
Really? I guess it's Yeah, it could be equally.
Yeah, the only. Yeah, I mean, it was.
But Wrong Turn had, you know, Elijah Dushku in a tank top, so I really can't. Well, that had Elijah Cuthbert.
All right, let's go on. We spent too much time on The House of Wax, but it was a solid movie. Go out and buy it or rent it. Yeah. Now we're on to High Tension, which is probably my number two movie of the year, which really didn't come out in 2005, but it came out, you know, in the United States. It was a movie that was filmed in 2003, I believe, and it came out in France 2004. I'm not positive on that. I don't live in France, but it was a solid movie for sure that created, you know, Italian Lucio Fulci type atmosphere and had some freaking killer gore. It was badass, I thought.
That movie genuinely made me uncomfortable. I cannot tell you the last time that I went to a movie and it made me feel really uncomfortable. But it is High Tension. That is the correct, you know, name for that film.
And it definitely set the mood.
Mm-hmm.
It would remind you of Argento movies.
Definitely.
Fulci movies. Mm-hmm. Even, like, you know, the way Don Coscarelli created the atmosphere in, like, Phantasm, sort of. But
yeah, the lighting is very, very... it's very dim. And the camera work is very slow. There's a lot of attention paid to detail, like people's breathing. Just a lot of the things that, like, Italian filmmakers used to use, but that you don't ever see in horror movies anymore.
And what's even more amazing is the director, that was his first, like, full-length film, I'm pretty sure. And I think he had one other short film before.
He did.
But that was his first movie, and he's only, like, 25, 26 years old. So I think next year... he's got the remake for Hills Have Eyes coming out, which is another remake, but I'm kind of looking forward to that just because the guy actually seems to know what he's doing.
It stands a chance just because of him, and that's the only reason I would say that.
Yeah. I guess we're to take a little break in between, so we'll be right back with Dead Pit on DeadPit.com. Give me $20! I never go anymore! 5 seconds, you can give me $20. If you don't give me $20, I won't sign a check.
Give me 20, fucker.
Give me 20. Give me $20. Give me $20, or I won't sign a check.
When was the last time you were scared out of your wits by a movie? Halloween, the motion picture about the most terrifying night of the year. Halloween, the night three teenage girls discover the real trick is to stay alive.
Tommy,
Halloween, the night he came home. From Compass International Pictures, rated R.
Onward.
Okay, so we're done with May or June or whatever the hell we're on. I'm pretty sure Land of the Dead's next, right?
Came out in June.
Which came out, yeah, towards the end of June. This is a movie every horror fan was looking forward to for years, you know, ever since.
And in his particular, last movie. Myself, since I'm a Romero Mark from Hell.
But. Yeah, well, who isn't really? But I even like Monkey Shines, but that's me. You know,
so. Well, I like The Crazies and Martin, so that ain't saying a whole lot about me either.
So, we're on. This movie had, was it like a $15 million budget?
No, it had a $30 million budget.
$30 million?
I'm thinking so. Could be wrong.
I'll let you look at that.
Right.
But.
No, I'm sorry. It made $30 million and had a $15 million budget.
All right. It had a $15 million budget, which is dwarfs Day of the Dead's budget, I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive.
I'm thinking budget. Day of the Dead had a $6 million budget.
And you could definitely feel it was a, you know, a higher budget movie, and it's not really in a good way either. The only positive I can say about the budget was of KMB's zombies, like, which were unbelievable. I mean, I can't talk enough about, like, how killer Nicotero and Berger and all their crew.
KMB effects.
They're the best at what they do, and that movie definitely shows it. But the movie, I felt, and I know you sort of feel the same, the characters were really weak.
That's the biggest problem I have with that movie. I mean, in all the other movies that Romero's ever done in the zombie trilogy, anyway, he's always had at least two or three characters that were really, really well-defined and that you could relate to. That movie, I think there was way too many characters, and they didn't have enough time for you to get to know them. You didn't care who died.
Yep.
And it's just, you know, the effects were the best part of that movie, but if you don't have a story, the effects don't mean really that much.
Yeah. The other thing, too, I mean, I'm not positive on the times of Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead, but I think they were both pushing 2 hours.
They were, yeah.
This movie was at least, it had to be 90 minutes, probably not even more than that. Mm-hmm. And you could really tell, I mean, the movie needed more time for the characters. It needed more time, you know, for the gore. I mean, there weren't really any gore in the rated version. The unrated version had slightly more, but I don't know. I mean, it was Romero Hollywood style is the best way to say it, I guess.
You can tell what kind of statement he's trying to make with, you know, the Bush conservative elite and, you know, the band of outsiders that come in and stuff. But in the end, if you don't care about the outsiders, then you just don't care about the film. So that's basically what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was really let down by it. The CG is another thing that you could definitely tell it was Hollywood. I really didn't think Romero would ever, like, stain his films with CG, gunshots, and shit like that, it wouldn't be any cost to do it, you know, with the, what do they do it with, condoms and Karo syrup on the back of their head, something like that. It wouldn't cost them any money. I mean, and it would look solid.
Yeah, splatter packs and egg yolks is what I think they use, but I don't know. I think I actually heard an interview one time where Romero said he wouldn't use CG in his film.
Well,
I don't know what
I'm guessing is Romero had to give them something, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He probably doesn't want CG in his movies either. And I think CG would be useful in zombie movies just to create, like I remember Tom Savini was talking about one time, you know, where you could see through the zombie or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what they did, you know, back in the early days of CG with the mummy, where you could see through the mummy and see through his head and shit like that.
They had some good, like, I'm thinking in Undead, if anybody, you know, Australian zombie movie. They had some CG in that where, you know, you punch through somebody's head and you can see through the back of it into, you know.
Yeah.
That's a good use of CG if you're going to use it. But the main thing is try to put some regular makeup effects in with the CG. Otherwise, it looks like shit, and that's the bottom
line. If I had to, you know, rate Land of the Dead, for Romero, I'd probably give it about a D for a Romero movie. But for any movie come out today, I'd probably give it about, I don't know, a B-.
I'd give it a B for just the fact that I've seen so many horrible fucking movies lately.
Yeah.
But for Romero and my disappointment level and the, you know, the anticipation I have for that movie, I'd probably give it like a D-. And that's
it did let me down. I mean, that was one movie that I, you know, going in, I was thinking, you know, this is going to be freaking killer. But I don't know. It was.
I mean, seriously,
I didn't really care about anybody in the movie. And that was, you know, big downfall.
And please stop using comedians in, like, horror movies, dramatic roles. Like, John Leguizamo. Yeah. Not need to be in that movie.
Well, he hadn't been in anything in years anyway, so I don't think anybody knew who he was.
Lord.
Why the hell did they make Asia Argento? I don't know if she looks like a crack whore now or if they made her up like that.
Well, she was supposed to be a whore in the movie. That was her character. But...
Yeah, but I mean, they really did look.
Yeah, they did make her look like. They did a good job of that.
That's K and B again, probably. But
let's hope that's K and B, and she's not really whorish.
But the only time of the year where we go 2 for 2, is in the next movie, The Devil's Rejects, which had it all. To me, when we saw that in July, I'll be the first to tell you that I would have bet the house on it being a big piece of shit. I mean, I would, because
I
hated House Thousand Corpses of the Passion, and you know, I remember we were talking a couple of days before about not even going to see it, waiting a week or something. But I'm glad we did go and see it.
I wrote commentary about how bad Rob Zombie was as a director before this movie came out. I mean, you could not have convinced me that this movie would have been worth like a dollar to go and see on like a matinee night. But honestly, this was probably like my favorite horror film of this year. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. You can't really describe, you know, the movie until you see it, because it's got the same characters in it. A lot of people are going to be thinking it's the same sort of shit that was in House of Thousand Corpses, but he completely changed the type of movie that was, and I still don't exactly know what the fuck type of movie House of Thousand Corpses was supposed to be, but this movie felt, you know, like a, it felt like you were back in the 70s, it really did. The way it was filmed, it had the Texas Chainsaw Massacre type of brightness tint to it, and it was just, it was killer. I mean,
here's a further, you know, insinuation that you do not need a large budget to make a good horror film. That movie was made for $7 million. I don't think a lot of people realize how friggin' cheap that is.
Yeah.
But I think that's half of what Land of the Dead, less than half of what Land of the Dead was made for. And it looks better than Land of the Dead. I hate to say that, but it really does. Like,
and it's a better movie.
It is a better movie.
It's a lot better.
And House of a Thousand Corpses, if you base what Rob Zombie does on that movie, then you're seriously misled, because that movie was like, I don't even know, it was like shit in a box compared to, you know, The Devil's Reject.
Yeah. The Devil's Rejects, to me, I know we've said it's our favorite horror movie.
It's really not.
It's not a horror movie. I mean, it's, if you've seen movies like California or Natural Born Killers or something like that, it's along those lines, like a, you know, road killing spree sort of movie or something.
And it's,
you know,
got a lot of exploitation factors in it. Like, it's got a little bit of Last House on the Left, and it's got a little bit of, you know, I Spit on Your Grave stuff working for it.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a straight up like gore gut splatter movie.
It didn't really have that much gore in it. Mm-hmm. I mean.
But if you probably talked to anybody about that movie that's seen it and didn't like it, they'd probably tell you it was way too gory, but that's the same way with Texas Chainsaw.
Well, people, you know, people that didn't like it, their opinions don't matter anyway. So.
That's true, because they don't have no fucking sense.
But I would like to see more scenes with Sherry Moon's, like, ass.
And
Sherry those Levi's. Moon. I mean, those, you know, those scenes were...
I swear to God, I think Sherry Moon's ass got more time in that film than Michael Berryman. I'm not joking. I think it probably had more screen time than half the cast in that movie.
It deserved it.
It did, really.
All right, that's enough time for Devil's Rejects, but it was a killer movie. If you're a fan of good movies in general, go get it. I don't give a shit if you don't like horror. If you don't like horror, you better turn the fucking station off or whatever. But yeah. We go on.
Are you fucking retarded? What are you listening to this for?
Yeah, we go on. I don't think we watched any horror movies in July, or I mean in August.
No, we didn't.
But we got to see a great piece of shit in September, which was known as Cry Wolf, which was the AOL movie with John Bon Jovi in it. I'm not kidding. If you haven't heard of it.
You talk about a Tuesday.
It's out on DVD. I think it just came out on DVD Tuesday.
Yeah, it did. It just came out this week. Oh,
go and buy that if you really want to, like, if you have a hard time to sleep, put it on, like, right when you want to go to sleep. And I guarantee you, as soon as you see, like, John Bon Jovi, you'll be, like, snoring.
There's nothing I can say about that movie. I mean, that's a waste of fucking film. And I'm not sure who directed it. You know who directed that movie?
I don't remember his name.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. That guy should be killed.
Which is, it's sort of the same movie. I mean, it's basically just like I Know What You Did Last Summer, but, like, on the internet.
It's okay, you got basically, like, Fear. If you mix Fear.com with I Know What You Did Last Summer and threw in, like, oh, I don't know, like, Slippery When Wet, the album, then you'd have that piece of shit. And there's really nothing else I can say about it. But you want to talk about a twofer. You want to talk about going to see two movies right in a row that were just...
We're going to talk about the...
Make you want to
second Wes Craven piece of shit after that?
Yeah, and, you know...
That's not a horror movie either. We put Red on here just because it's Wes Craven. But it's shitty. I mean, I was thinking, at least. I don't know if he was. Okay, Wes Craven is doing a movie that Kevin Williamson didn't write.
Mm-hmm. Which so it's oddity in of itself.
Man, this might be pretty good. wrong. I mean, I think this is worse than Cursed.
It was. It was actually worse than Cursed because it does not have any, like, horror aspects to it.
It's shitty.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of the movies that you just can't understand the point of them making it. Like, it was, didn't they have a movie just like that, Flight Plan, come out, like, right before or right after it? I don't know.
I think it was trying to copy that, the success of that movie, because that was Jodie Foster's first movie coming back after, like, 10 years or whatever. They were trying to, like, capitalize on that. But that movie was one of those movies where I seriously, like, after it was over with, I just wanted to puke my sock. I don't understand movies like that. Don't know why you want to make them. But if Wes Craven, you know, wants to waste everybody's freaking time for the rest of his life, that's fine. But these movies he's making, you know, don't go and see them. Please.
And when you think it couldn't get much worse.
Oh, God. This is the drum roll for this piece of shit.
This, okay. Which, the original was probably one of the best suspense, thriller, horror movies ever.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the one that John Carpenter made, which I think he produced this one for some goddamn reason. I don't know. You got Rupert Wainwright's The Fog with Tom Welling and some other douchebag from the WB.
Oh, God. Or as I like to call it,
my God.
The Haunted Mansion Part 2, as I like to call it.
Yeah, with Frighteners CGI, 1996.
Yeah.
All right, this movie is the classic example of what the hell is wrong with horror today. I mean, this is the best example that we had on our list this year.
And I'm not a fan of remakes, but I am a fan of John Carpenter. And anytime anybody comes out with a remake of a John Carpenter film, I'm going to go and see it. Just because, if for no other reason, so I can sit around and bitch about how, like, where... I wondered in that movie, who the hell did they make that movie for? What audience were they going for? It wasn't Carpenter's audience. Because anybody that knew anything about Carpenter's horror films would know that movie was shit.
There's something in the fog. It's shit.
Exactly. And it obviously wasn't made for, like, fans of horror movies in general, because it wasn't any horror in it. There wasn't any scares. There wasn't any gore or anything like that. It was PG-13, which is another thing I fucking hate about horror movies nowadays.
That defeats the whole purpose. Like, you're going... a movie is horror, okay, why is it rated PG-13? A horror movie is generally about killing people and the dead coming back to life and, like, tits.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
It's rated PG-13 so they can make a profit off dumbass kids that didn't even know it was a remake.
Evidently, they didn't make what was
the profit on that film was about, if I'm not mistaken.
It couldn't have doubled its profit. There's no way. I'd be surprised if it made its money back.
Okay. The estimated budget of that film was $18 million, which is very high if you've ever seen the movie, because it looks like it was made for about $3 or $4 million, but the effects wise. It actually grossed in the second month it was out $30 million. So it
made a $30 million.
It made a $12 million profit.
No, well, America's stupid. We're stupid. We are stupid.
We went to see it.
We went. And
so
saw
we
it.
Apparently are retarded.
Wait a second. I just thought of something else we saw. The last movie we saw, Saw 2
Electric Boogaloo.
We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
Which should tell you something. It was sort of forgettable, really. I mean, the movie, it had a goddamn fucking New Kid on the Block in it. I mean, what the fuck? You've got Donnie Wahlberg in it.
That movie, needless. That's the best way I can describe it. You know, Saw was made, what was it, like 2 weeks that movie was made or something like that?
The first Saw?
Yeah.
The first Saw was supposed to be a direct-to-video movie, so it didn't have really a budget.
Yeah, it had no
budget.
They
didn't expect it to be that good anyway.
And I'm thinking it was made somewhere between 2 to 6 weeks. I'm fairly certain that's true. But, you know, when you make a movie like that, that's only going to happen one time. You don't need a freaking sequel for that. That was a fluke that happened anyway, that movie made as much money as it did. Leave it alone. As a matter of fact, leave all the shit alone. That was my message.
Evidently,
anyway.
They're not going to leave it alone because Saw 3 comes out... October.
They're not going to leave anything alone, because the next thing I want to talk about is the upcoming list of remakes
We should have a list of upcoming remakes and sequels.
Yeah,
you have like a Bible-sized book then, probably.
I do have a list of a couple sequels. I'll go ahead and do the sequels right now.
All
right. And we'll do the remakes in a second. Here's a couple of sequels that are already either in pre-production or planning. You got Final Destination 3. The first two were really good. I have to even say that. So that one, kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah.
You got...
I don't know.
You got this needless piece of shit, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre prequel. I don't know.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing, though. It does have Jordana Brewster in it.
That is a good thing.
Maybe you can see her ass in it.
Wasn't she in Cabin Fever?
No, that was Serena Vincent.
Oh, okay. What other piece of shit was Jordana Brewster in?
She was in The Faculty, I think.
Oh, that was a good movie. Anyway, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake was bad enough. Do we really need a fucking prequel with this same cast in it?
I need one. I need one just to stick straight up my ass and shit out, you know. But the sad thing is, like, most of the cast is returning. Like, I know that Andrew Brzezinski or whatever the fuck his name is, the guy that plays Leatherface.
Lee's coming back.
He's back, yeah. They're both back. So, I don't know. It couldn't be much worse than the remake.
But did anybody ask for that? Did anybody really say we want the original fucking cast of that shithole movie back? I don't think so. I can't imagine what the fuck they, think people care that much.
There could be some 13-year-olds that thought it was cute or something.
Okay, next you got Underworld Evolution. That's one that's coming
out. I never saw the first Underworld, nor will I. Any movie that looks like it was a Tim Burton ripoff, Resident Evil, Van Helsing, shit like that. I'm not going to watch it.
It looks like
Alien versus Predator, has that dark look to it. Look like somebody wiped their ass with the film. I'm not going to watch it.
It's like a 15-year-old.
And I never will watch it. I don't like it, the look of it. I don't give a fuck if it's good or not. It's a fucking...
The last one I've got on this list is another needless piece of shit because the first one was horrible. And the first one was a remake of a movie made in Japan. You got The Grudge 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yep.
Yeah, Grudge sucked, man. What was that out here?
Why? What's up with the remakes of Japanese movies, too, by the way? You got The Ring, you got The Grudge, you got, The Ass Fuck. I don't need all this Japanese, remakes.
I never did see The Ring 2. Did you see that? Did that come out this year? I don't think it did.
It came out last year, 2000. Yeah.
But I liked the first Ring, but...
That was it. That's where shit needed to stop, though.
I never had the desire to see another one. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah.
Somebody else copies the video or whatever. That's the end of it.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back.
Imagine, if you will, that the most frightening things on Earth are about to come out of the darkness. They will look surprisingly like your neighbors, your friends, your family. Dawn of the Dead. There is nothing you can do to stop it. It's too late. It's coming to a theater near you. Dawn of the Dead contains scenes of violence that may be considered shocking. No one under 17 will be admitted. From United Film Distributing Company.
And as far as new movies go, as far as anything original, I'm going to tell you, I've got a list of 10 movies here that'll be coming out, in 2006, in the first, 4 or 5 months of 2006. And I'm sitting here looking at it, and I'm just realizing that out of those 10 movies, 7 of them are either sequels, remakes, or video games.
Well, let's hear the list. I want to discuss all right. This shit.
We got Blood Rain coming out, which is a video game.
Ooey Bowl. Didn't he do that?
That is Ooey's latest masterpiece.
He's the legend.
Yeah. That's actually a very good video game. I don't think that'll translate well.
I didn't even know it was a video game.
It is.
Doesn't he have House of the Dead 2? Isn't that also coming out? Or is he
Dead Aim? Yes, House of the Dead 2.
Is he directing that?
I don't know if Ooey's directed that or not. It might be Rennie Harlan. I guess
it's going to be his year. It's going to be Ooey's year.
And then,
time for an Oscar.
You got Silent Hill, which is a video game as well.
Is it?
It's a Resident Evil ripoff. It's a ripoff of a video game that's already been a movie. So that's basically ripping off two or three things at once there. I don't know. There's a bunch of degrees of separation.
It's going to be shitty.
Yes, it certainly is. And then... I already mentioned Final Destination 3. I already mentioned Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Grudge 2.
When's the remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night coming out?
I do not know. I don't have that one on here.
I'm looking forward to that one because I want to see the return of Eric Freeman.
These are just sequels, video game movies, or original stuff. Now, the three original movies that I've got on here, and this one, I know you're going to love to talk about this one.
Oh, I know what it is already.
Hostel.
Oh, yeah.
Hostel. That's out in January, actually. Snake.
Well, that comes out just around the corner, so we can enjoy that.
That's Eli Roth, who's Cabin Fever director. And you know what? You either love that movie or you hate it, and we hate it. I can just go ahead and tell you that. So we're
and if you love that movie, you're a goddamn idiot.
Yeah, you really are. I mean, you have no
taste.
Well,
I'm just sort of joking, but I mean, everybody's got their different tastes, but I just never did understand why people liked that movie. Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, Half-Size and Corpses, they all come out the same year. I don't understand why anybody likes
They're very common theme to those movies, though. They all look about the same. They all look like they've been filmed underwater with that dark-ass tent.
Yep.
They all have a bunch of, like, meaningless, you know, plots and just horrible characters that I think that maybe younger people relate to because they don't have any fucking sense, I guess. I don't know. There has to be a reason those movies were popular.
I think part of it, I was talking to a guy online the other night, I think part of it is society's just lowered their standards.
Well, that's true with everything, but yeah, horror's really gotten lowered.
I think, you know, all the horror fans are just looking so hard for something worth a shit that they'll accept shit. I mean, they'll accept Cabin Fever and remakes and, you know, Uwe Boll.
And Rennie Harlan. Yeah.
Rennie Harlan is different. I consider him, he actually had like, what did he make? Nightmare on Elm Street, one of the sequels that's pretty good. What else did he do?
God, I don't know.
Cliffhanger. That ain't really a horror movie, but
we're talking about horror here, though. As far as horror movies, I think he may have made...
He had another one, Prison, something like that. Mm. I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway, let's go on.
Okay, so now that we're past Hostel, which we're really not going to talk about it yet, but...
What can we talk about? It looks shitty. Yeah, I mean... Okay. It's the dark that I said. Like,
we're going to talk about, you know, you want to talk about originality. It is an original movie in theory, but if you've seen the poster for Hostel.
And one of the Italian poster?
Yeah, there's one particular poster I'm talking about.
Bill Lustig needs to sue the fuck out of somebody.
Yeah, if anybody's ever seen the cover to the film Maniac, which is a Bill Lustig movie, it's a really, really good movie.
It's one of the best posters I can think of, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's got a picture of a guy holding a knife and a woman's head, right? And it says...
And a bloody trail under him with jeans and boots and a belt.
And it says, you know, I told you not to go out tonight. Or I warned you not to go out tonight, I'm sorry. The Hostel poster is exactly the same, except it's... In the original poster, it was a painting. And this is just a photograph of some guy.
You can't have any paintings on posters nowadays. I mean, no, we're fucking high tech now. I mean, come on.
You gotta have computer generated shit now. But that's the point is that it rips the shit off that movie. And I just think that if Cabin Fever is any indication, of course, I said this about Rob Zombie and House of Thousand Corpses, but if Cabin Fever is any indication about Eli Roth's work, Hostel will be incredibly horrible.
It's gonna be shitty. I mean, and believe me, if it actually ends up being worth a shit, I'll come back on here and admit it. Because I did it with Devil's Rejects. But I'm really betting money this is going to be shitty. That Hostel, it's going to be, it's going to be shitty. I mean, that's all I can say. Shitty.
And we've got, you talk about Rennie Harlan. He's directing one of the only other original horror movies coming out in the next 6 months.
All right.
It's called The Covenant. Don't know that much about it, other than the fact there was a movie called The Covenant made before, but I don't think it's...
There's one called The Coven that we watched at Horror Con.
Yeah, that was a good one. And other than that, there's a movie called Slither coming out, which I'm thinking is based on, is actually a zombie movie, I'm pretty sure.
I wonder if it'll be shitty or not. I haven't heard nothing about it.
An airborne virus type of zombie movie, kind of like a 28 Days Later movie.
I don't like it.
So now that we've got the originals and we've got the sequels and the video games, I guess the only thing left is the main attraction in horror movies, which is the horror remakes that are coming out.
Oh, you want to go through just the list?
I'll just go through the whole freaking list, okay? And then we'll back up. Here's a list of, and this is just 2006 now. Right. Scheduled for 2006.
Right.
Day of the Dead. These are all confirmed, by the way. Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead remake. Shit.
The Hills Have Eyes.
Uh-huh.
Omen 666. The Blob. The Wicker Man. The Crazies. Pulse. Sisters. When a Stranger Calls. The Hitcher. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Last House on the Left. Those are all confirmed. They're making those. Okay?
Well, they've already finished Last House on the Left because I saw a trailer to it or something.
You know, all those are scheduled to come out in 2006 sometime or another.
Well, I think I've noticed with most of those that you named, most of those movies, people probably wouldn't know they're remakes.
No, they
I mean, unless they're,
I think that's the point nowadays.
Unless they follow horror movies and have been for a while, you know, they wouldn't know them. I mean, that Day of the Dead would probably be one that, you know, more people know. Didn't you say The Creature from Black Lagoon?
No, but that is actually going to be remade too.
Well, that's another one that people know that. But movies like Sisters and, you know, what was more of them? You know?
Crazies,
Wicker Man.
Yeah, Pulse. I don't think anybody will know. Even The Hitcher, to some extent, a lot of people don't even know that.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the, I think that's Hollywood's motivation is, we'll remake these movies, but, you know, the majority of the audience is too stupid to know the remakes.
So. Yeah, and they all make money because they all have really low budgets, and they get by on the fact they have one star. It's either a star vehicle, or they have a name, or people think they're original horror movies, and they're really not.
Yeah,
and that's not even considering, by the way. You know, Day of the Dead was one of my favorite horror movies because, like I said, I'm a Romero mark, and The Hills Have Eyes was one of my favorite Craven movies. So I don't think you need to, like, perform sacrilege and remake these movies, but they're going to anyway. But you want to talk about sacrilege. Here are a couple of remakes that they're either in the process or it's rumored. So here we go with this. This is rumored for either 2006 or 2007. Evil Dead, Halloween, Friday the 13th, and Creepshow.
Okay.
Now,
I can bet money, I will bet you right now, that the Friday the 13th one won't be made. I don't think. I think that franchise is, they're too into sequels. Now, the Halloween one, since McCall died, that's a possibility.
If anybody didn't.
Creepshow will, I can see that being remade. And what was the other one?
The other one, Evil Dead.
I can see that being remade, too.
Yeah.
God damn. That's all I mean.
We need a moment here to just, you know, collect ourselves because we grew up on most of these movies. I mean, honestly, God. And a lot of these movies are classics. And the point is that why are you remaking them? The only reason you're remaking them is to make a profit. You can't make them any better. You can't have any artistic vision.
There's yet to be a remake that I've seen that's been better than the original.
So, you know, you can stick these remakes up your compare. Ass. Seriously.
Even can compare, really. I mean, there are a few remakes that I can say that we liked. Like, we liked the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah, we did.
That was pretty good.
And that was really weird because that's my favorite horror movie of all time. And I thought that I would have to kill somebody about them even remaking that movie.
Yeah.
But they did a good job. I mean, I can't complain.
The thing I've noticed about remakes, the ones that are really, really shitty, are the ones that they try to directly remake the movie. Like, they use the same characters' names.
Oh, yeah. That's
true. They'll use the same dialogue. Even like that Gus Van Sant is a direct copy, word for word, of Psycho, you know. Those seem to be the ones that...
I actually heard, speaking of that, that in the Invasion of the Body Snatchers movie, which is slated to star Nicole Kidman, which, talk about star power, you know, is actually going to take word for word, just like Psycho, you know, the script from Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Not that anybody would know that, because I don't think many people remember the script to Invasion of the Body Snatchers. But I'm just saying, there's no purpose for this shit. There's just not.
Yeah, I think the majority of people probably know that, but I just don't think it's going to end. I mean, Hollywood produces, mass produces shit. Whatever's popular, they've got a list. I bet you money Universal has a list of all the movies they own, all the horror movies, and probably movies in general, because we don't know much about, you know, there's probably, I know they remake Stepford Wives was one, Dukes of Hazzard. I don't know, shit. They remake so much shit, you can't even keep track of it. Like,
it's not just horror. No, remakes
are... But anyway, Universal's got a list. They're probably going through it, A to Z.
Yeah, when they remake Halloween Evil Dead, I'm going to have to burn a theater down. Because there's no reason to do that, other than to make money. But...
Well, just think of this. I know it's probably not going to be the biggest money draw of the year for some reason. It's just one of those things that happens. King Kong, which came out a couple weeks ago, was a Universal movie. It was another Universal movie. That's been remade four times.
Mm-hmm.
Same studio. So this isn't new. I mean, Hollywood's been remaking stuff for many years. But lately, it's just, if it's not a remake, it's based on something. It's based on a comic book. It's based on a novel, video game, something like that. So,
you know,
no originality is the thing.
I really wondered how it was that all these remakes were getting made, and I wondered why it was that Hollywood was so intent on making all these remakes until I looked up all the numbers on exactly, like, you know, what the budget was for these movies that they're remaking and how much they make. And in actuality, even Psycho made a profit. All of these movies make profits. And how they do that, they never have any big stars, any huge stars. They usually have one moderate, like, B-list celebrity that they, you know, put in the front. But they have name recognition most of the time. People know what the movies are, and that tricks them into going to see it. But the thing is, they all make money. And they're easy to make. They don't require any thought. You can just copy the entire script, just like in Psycho.
Right.
So that's why they're being made. If people would stop going to see the fucking pieces of shit, well, it wouldn't be made.
All right, let's move on for something. I just want to ask you, Uncle Bill, what movies are you looking forward to next year? I mean, is there any that you know of that are like, oh, man, I got to see that, or, you know?
Well, from everything rumored, I understand that they're making a sequel to Argento's Suspiria, and I think what the second, there's like a three-part trilogy of that movie. There was Suspiria.
Deep Red.
And it was either Deep Red or, was that one called Inferno?
Yeah.
It was a sequel, they're making a third movie to that, and he's co-writing that movie.
Tenebre, something like that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that movie, okay? And I'm actually looking forward to the second series of Masters of Horror, but that's not a movie, but I'm looking forward to that. As far as these remakes go, none of them. I'm not looking forward to a fucking one of them. The Day of the Dead one, I'll be interested to see.
I actually think the Day of the Dead one comes out 2007.
Yeah, it probably does. But that would be the only one. The Hills Have Eyes is coming out here fairly shortly, isn't it?
Hills Have Eyes comes out March 10th.
Okay.
That's sort of the number.
See, I would go see that one, too, just because I really like the original. But, you know, these original movies that are coming out, I'm not looking, there's none of them. Hostel, I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think next year's going to be a really down year for horror movies because, as far as I know, I mean, I think Rob Zombie's working on a cartoon.
Hell, Super Beasto, yeah.
George Romero, Land of the Dead 2's been talked about. I don't know if that'll be out by next year. Wes Craven, don't know what he's doing. I don't think John Carpenter's doing anything. You know, as far as the other directors, hell, I don't know. I mean, Don Coscarelli, to me, had one of the best episodes, he and Argento, for the Masters of Horror. For some reason, the poor guy can't get a movie out in theaters, and he's probably one of the best horror directors going still. I mean, he's only in his mid-40s.
He's actually a lot younger than we thought.
Well, I mean, he made Phantasm when he was 19, but he's one of those guys that he just doesn't get a shot. I mean, he did Bubba Hotep about 3 years ago now, and it was awesome. I mean, I don't understand. You let all these young directors that don't know what they're doing, I'm not going to name names, but, you know, there's plenty of them out there. I just can't understand, you know, why, you know, Don Coscarelli or even Argento. I'd love to see an Argento movie in theaters just to say, you know, I saw one.
And that'll probably never happen.
No. Because
people don't, you know, as obviously made clear by movies like High Tension, which only cleared about $3 million, even though it was limited release, but still, it only cleared about $3 million in the U.S., do not like to go see horror movies that require any type of, like, artistic, you know, direction or
That's
atmosphere
true.
Or anything like that, which is everything that Italian movies are based on, Italian horror movies, anyway. But as far as stuff that I'm looking forward to, it always comes around to be something like movies like High Tension and Devil's Rejects where you don't expect. You know, you don't know they're coming out. They don't get a lot of hype.
Right.
And they always come around to surprise you.
Yeah, I mean, High Tension had been around, and I'd heard of it, you know, on the internet. I've heard people talk about it, and I was like, hell, it's down here at the theaters. Let's go see it. And it ended up being great. So you just got to take chances like that. I mean, that's why we go see all these pieces of shit. I mean, you never know, like, even though we badmouth Eli Roth and, you know,
Wes Craven,
all these guys, you have to go and see the movie to know if it's worth the shit or not. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Because if you would have bet me, you know, $1 million on Devil's Rejects being worth a shit, I would have probably bet you, and you know, I'd be broke on my ass.
That's true.
Same thing with House of Wax, the Dawn of the Dead remake when we watched it last year. It's the same sort of thing. I mean, you just have to watch them to know, you know. So.
And the thing about this, it's really scary, and you know, anybody listening to this show has anything to do with affiliated with horror movies at all should know. We are your core audience, okay? We're in the, you know, 18 to 25 demographic.
Yeah, for a few more months.
Yeah. And we actually buy the DVDs, and we go to see the movies and stuff. And to be honest, you know, people are getting tired of this fucking remake shit. And they're getting tired of the unoriginality. And I know I am, anyway. I'm thinking people are in general.
Yeah, I mean, I just miss the days where I remember, you know, I barely got a chance to enjoy the 80s. And, you know, I remember seeing Return of the Living Dead Part 2, which isn't even considered great. But, I mean, I liked it. I had fun at the time. We saw Friday the 13th, 8 and 9 in theaters. And it was just back in the day where every weekend there would be a new slasher movie or there would be a new, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre or something like that. But nowadays, it's just... it's nothing new, you know. I mean, it's sort of sad, really.
I mean, we sit around and we talk about the fact that we saw two really classic horror films this year. And, you know, we're even praising that because that's a good year. But the fact is that when we were, you know, kids, when we were, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old,
yeah,
there was 10, 15 horror movies that came out a year that were classic horror movies, all right? We're talking about, like, you know, the mid-80s, late-80s. So... we're really lowering our standards. I mean, that's the point we're trying to make here.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I guess we should, you know, tell all the listeners out there, I don't know how many we have, but we've been watching horror movies, at least I have, ever since, I bought a VCR, my dad bought a VCR in 1986. And ever since that time, I think the first two horror movies I ever rented Psycho 2 and Friday the 13th Part 6, I think. So I've been watching horror movies now for almost 20 years. So, you know, I've probably seen, you know, every mainstream horror movie you can think of. And I'm still catching up on movies like recently we watched Just Before Dawn, Jeff Lieberman. And you always run into them old movies like that. And it makes you even more sad for today. For what comes out. I mean, you don't have... when you have slasher movies that come out, for some reason, they're always like PG-13, mm-hmm, like Cry Wolf. So you don't really get to enjoy... you can't enjoy them anymore. I mean, it's just... and the MPAA is completely like shit on everything that was good for horror movies. And believe me, you don't have to have gore, you know, have a good horror movie. Just look at, you know, Halloween or Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Phantasm or any of those movies like that. They're all great horror movies without gore. But, I mean, for a lot of the movies, like Friday the 13th, Hellraiser, you know, there's a million more, Evil Dead, all those. Those movies can't exist today. That's what sucks. I mean,
if you don't have originality, you have to have gore. And if you don't have gore, you have to have originality. That's just the way it works in horror films. If you don't have either one of them, you got the fog. So,
yeah.
That's just a simple equation right there. I mean, the fog remake. But, yeah, I think the first horror movie I ever remember seeing, actually the first couple of horror movies that I remember seeing, were probably Basket Case and Dawn of the Dead. Those are the first two I can genuinely remember, like, you know, being shown them. My father showed them to me because he was amazingly
he
bigger horror fan.
Like deranged growing up, like you are now. But
yeah, he made me what I am today. He's a bigger horror fan than I am right now, I think. But he liked horror films. He liked Romero's stuff, and that's what got me into this. But the fact is that even Romero now is susceptible to this Hollywood machine that pumps out this crap that it's CG infested and remake happy, and it's just, you know.
Well, if you go into the details, back when he made Dawn of the Dead, Not Living Dead and Day of the Dead, you had all these financial backers
back then that wanted to support his cause, and you could do it independently through theaters. Back then you could. Now, there's no independent companies left, from what I've heard. I mean, you watch all these documentaries about horror movies, and Romero even says, you know, there's no companies left for him to go to and make a Dawn of the Dead or Day of the Dead like that. So he has to get his movies made, he has to pretty much sell his soul. I mean, that's the same thing. And you can't, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, we ought to be lucky, you know, to say that we even saw a fourth Romero Dead film, even though it wasn't as good as his others. But, I mean, I don't know. It's sort of depressing, but whatever, let's go on.
It is very depressing, which is the theme of this show, really, is the fact that we're sitting here doing a horror radio show, and the horror industry's in the shitter.
I want to spread the message of how it used to be, you know.
Well, see, the best horror movies, just like with anything else, music, movies, and anything else, the best horror movies are underground right now. The best movies that you'll see, even in mainstream theaters, were made, you know, either in some foreign country, like High Tension, right, or they were made for like a commando-style budget, like Devil's Rejects. You're not going to look.
Well, even on a lower scale, there's some pretty good independent, makers out there.
You want to go like really, really like B and C
if
grade.
If you want to go search for stuff, there is. I mean, kind of the Evil Dead style. I mean, a group of friends getting together and making a movie. And you'll be surprised how much better those movies are than, you know, a lot of the movies that's out in theaters. Like, there's a group, The Asylum, that makes independent films. And a lot of their stuff is better, you know. Like I was mentioning earlier, they were the group that made The Beast of Bray Road, and that was better than Cursed.
You mentioned a couple more names. You got companies like Tempe Entertainment and stuff, which is J.R. Bookwalter's company. And, you know, they make shoestring budget movies. He made The Dead Next Door. You know, this was back in the 80s, though, but they make movies nowadays. But these are independent movies that actually used makeup effects and actually, you know, really took the horror genre seriously. And there's tons of other little small independent companies like that where these people actually make these movies, you know, using their own cameras, their own money, their own friends, their own.
I can mention right here is a DVD I have from Sub Rosa Studios.
It's another great studio, yeah.
B/movie.com. I watched a movie of theirs that I got called The Undertow the other night, which was probably one of the gorier slasher movies I've seen in many years, and it was, you just got to go searching for these movies, but that's one that I would definitely recommend anybody to go try to pick up or buy. I guess you'd have to order it off the internet. You ain't going to find it at freaking Best Buy or anything, but anyway.
But, yeah, there are studios left, though. That's the point. If you go out, if you want to find some really good horror movies and you're sick of dealing with the remakes and the sequels and the video games, then go on the net, go to some of these, you know, do a random search for independent, you know, horror film studios, or go on to, like we said, you know, Asylum or Tempe or, you know, Sub Rosa or any of those studios like that, and you will find better horror movies than anything that comes out in theaters today.
Yeah. Well, I think we've ramble on enough for the first episode, so maybe like we'll actually have more of a setup whenever we do another one. I don't know if we'll do one in another 2 weeks or another month or whatever, but be sure to stay tuned to the Dead Pit at deadpit.com. And until next time, this is the Creepy Kentuckian
and Alpha Beast,
and we'll see you motherfuckers at the theaters.